Vande Guru Paradvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Nityananda Sahoditam Sri Nanda Nandanam Vande Radhika Charanadvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavanamanoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayamulasaniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridianti Bakarim Snapayati Nija Dasye Radhikamam Kadanu. Today is October 10th, 2014. This is a class on the glorious sevas of Srimati Radhika. And we're discussing, today we'll discuss from Vrindavan Mahimamrita about the boundless beauty of Radhika's Manjaris. We've read some points and there's some more points. It's unexcelled in the whole universe. Each manjari is a manifestation of Radharani's expertise in loving affairs. Yesterday we heard how there Prabhadananda Saraswati, in his own ecstatic vigyan, or realization, he was saying the manjaris are like a ray from the effulgence of Radharani's splendid lotus feet. They follow Radharani like a shadow. And here it says they're manifestations of her expertise in loving affairs. But the manjaris, although they're so expert in conjugal vilas or intimate dalliance with Krishna, they're never desirous or hankering for that. They're only hankering at every moment and desiring to please and serve Srimati Radharani and engage in her service. The desire to enjoy with Krishna never crosses their mind, even for a moment. As a result, only the manjaris, the nitya sakis, pran sakis, they can swim unrestrictedly in the ocean of Radha's prem seva, as it's told. Our acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das, Vishwanath, Narottam, Prabodhananda Saraswati, they're telling us in their books, oftentimes if you scrutinizingly read, they're saying meditate like this. One should think like this, meditate like this. So I saw a very nice verse along the same lines. There's many verses like this in the Vrindavan Mahimamrita, but one that came to my attention in relation to hearing about the beauty and forms of the manjaris, which we are all hankering to become someday. Palyadasi Kinkari, maidservant of Radharani, under the guidance of Rupan Rati Manjari. So here, in the 8th Shataka, after he's described, I'm going from back to front, this is the Chinese way, they read a book, they read like this. That's the first page is back here. So at the end of this discussion, this one particular place and others, where he's describing the form of a manjari, any manjari, you manjari, she manjari, whoever, Rupa manjari, it's not clear. But the symptoms, characteristics, and traits and qualities are basically similar to the sadhana siddha manjaris or the nitya siddhas. But at the end of it all, he, after one hears it and reads it, then he mentions this beautiful verse, number 42 in the 8th Shataka, Shatak, as they say, 8th Shatak of Vrindavan Mahimamrita. He says, Shutva, Shutvati Sukitam, Puna Shravana Lalasam, evam eva smaran nityam sarvavastasu sarvata. Actually, only a few words here. Shravanam basically saying that translation, there's one translation in the book, and I have two different other English translations, and the one which actually matches the Sanskrit most closely is the one that I will repeat now. Shutvati Sukitam. Eagerly and happily hear the descriptions of the Manjaris again and again. Even though this is the particular phrase that touched me, and maybe will touch all of the Raghunugiya Sadakas who are beginning on the path, or at any time for that matter. This next phrase, where he says that even though you have never directly seen this, we've never directly seen Radha or Krishna or their pastimes, nor have we seen the form directly, sakshat darshan of Rupa Manjari or Rati Manjari, Lavanga Manjari. What to speak of, let's say, for the most of us, most all of us, I doubt we've had darshan of our own siddha, sarup, or siddha deha. Once when it's told, I haven't read it, but I have heard it over the years, that one devotee of Prabhupada, an elder, one of the early initiated devotees, he was inquiring in Mayapur once, confidentially, privately, in Prabhupada's rooms. Because Prabhupada at the time was translating Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. And in some purports there, in relation to Rupa Goswami's book, then Srila Prabhupada is mentioning Siddhadeya. In your Siddhadeya, in liberated state, on the banks of, one should meditate at an advanced stage, live on the banks of Radhakunda, meditate on the Siddhadeya. So that was the translation going on in Prabhupada's room at Mayapur in 1975. And one devotee there, he said, Prabhupada, could you tell us what is your Siddhadeha? This, of course, is the question of the century. Even it's a question as to what rati, or maybe two Siddhadehas. There's no limit on that level of the transcendent level. The Lord can expand in unlimited forms, and so can His servants. This is told in Lagu Bhagavatamritam by Rupa Goswami. Ananta Rupam for Bhagavan and Ananta Rupam for his parts and parcels. There's Arjuna on the battlefield, and he's a Sakha, and there's Arjuna that wrestles with Krishna. It's like Tulsi is Vrindadevi, but she has unlimited expansions. There, she's right here. She's everywhere where Tulsi is. So he said, if Prabhupada answered that question, can you describe what is your Siddhadeya? And then he said, if I told you, you would faint. Murchita, you would collapse on the ground, be amazed or stunned. That was the answer I've heard over the years in this particular dialogue. And that's what Prabhupada Saraswati is saying here, is that we haven't directly seen, as no one has seen Prabhupada's Siddhadeya. Well, I can't say that. I can't say that no one has seen it. Those that advanced devotees, they may have. I can't, what can I say what people have seen in their spurti or not? That's the private realm of personal realization, which Narottam Das Thakur tells us in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, that these secret gems of Vigyan or spurti, realizations that one attains in the practices of his bhajan, should be kept highly confidential to himself or to someone he considers non-different from himself. A very trusted friend or a highly evolved and advanced trusted disciple. But the warning is there not to reveal the secrets of the gems of bhajan. And this is other places told. So I can't say that no one has seen, but as Prabhupada said, if you would see, you would faint. And so Prabhupada Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, you haven't seen all these descriptions I've given you. I'm telling you to think of Manjaris. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you an instruction, a shiksha, an upadesh. Because Shastra is full of tattva and shiksha and teachings and suggestions. Do like this. Hankering and kabe and some hankering and some suggestions and some orders and some recommendations and then lila. Many things are in Shastra. So he's saying that puna puna, again and again, you should eagerly and happily, sukitam shrutvati. Shrutvati, shrutvati sukitam. Eagerly and puna puna shravana. Eagerly and happily, over and over again, you should hear these topics. What topics? About the manjari rupam, manjari gunam, manjari namam, and manjari lilam. The pastimes of the Manjaris in their service of Radha and Krishna. One should eagerly and happily hear it over and over again. This is one of the bhakti angas, or the abhyas, the daily practice of Raganuga Sadhana. To hear about what we want to become, to hear about where we want to go, and to hear about whom we want to serve, and to regularly hear about whom we want to love. What else do we hear about? Politics, spiritual politics, material politics, family, everywhere, politics in the house, family politics, village politics. Oh, this is, he's telling. Shutva shutvati sukitam puna shravana lalasam evam eva smaran nityam. Although you've never directly seen this, but you know of it only by words. We know of it only by words. We know about the spiritual world only by words. We know about Radha and Krishna only by words. We know about the Siddhanta only by words. And we know by words of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Raganuge, Rag Marga Prachare, that Lord Chaitanya Pracharite, Lord Chaitanya has come to this world to preach Raganuga Marg, to preach Raganuga Bhakti. And but at any rate, by meditating on this always in all conditions, one should reside in Vrindavan. So this is again some instruction about residing in Vrindavan, as we heard from the purport of Prabhupada's book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, one should practice living in Vrindavan. I believe he said like that. So now, when Prabhupada said that, it doesn't necessarily mean geographic Vrindavan, the Vrindavan located here in the subcontinent, apparently located in the subcontinent of India. He said one should practice living in Vrindavan. So whether you live outside of Vrindavan in some other country or city of India, or whether you live in Vrindavan, you should practice living in Vrindavan. Okay, I live in Delhi. I live in Mumbai, or Kazakhstan, or Croatia, or wherever. Goloka Dham, somewhere in Germany or wherever. I live somewhere and outside of this Sridham Vrindavan, Chintamani Vrindavan. And Prabhupada is telling me I should practice him. One should practice living in Vrindavan. Then how does Prabhupada tell us to do that in the purport of the CC? I read it. It was in my first class. We should practice living in Vrindavan by always hearing the talks between the gopis and Krishna. So this is wherever you are, you should practice living in Vrindavan, and then, what do you know? Someday you'll live in Vrindavan. Even if you're living in Delhi and you're always practicing like this, following Srila Prabhupada, then you'll get the full blessings of Prabhupada. Perfection is in the shiksha. You surrender to the shiksha, you serve the shiksha, you worship the shiksha, and the shiksha is your everything, then the shiksha manifests the reality of what it's telling. So Prabhupada, you may live in Delhi and practice always hearing the topics of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and end up living really in Vrindavan fully in your heart and mind and consciousness more than someone that has a kutia or a house or apartment in Vrindavan. Because it's consciousness that takes you to Vrindavan, not bodies. The body is holding the consciousness, but it should, the consciousness should use the body as a platform to fly off to Krishna. So that was the verse. Now we can read a little bit, some quotations from this Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which very nicely describe the beauty of the Manjaris. Shataka 8 has many verses that are here. Can read. This is a Manjari. And we hear about the beauty. What does it mean to hear about the beauty of Krishna and hear about the beauty of Radha? It means to become attracted. By contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes attached. And as one's attachment increases, he goes mad. That is the principle described in Gita. When applied to prakriti dhyana, meditating on the material things or people. So we hear, which is a sense impression, and we see, which is a sense impression, and we taste, which is a sense impression, and all these together become contemplation. We see the murti of Krishna, we hear his descriptions of his beauty, we taste his prasadam, and we start to contemplate Krishna. Every day we see such a beautiful form of Krishna in the temple of our heart, or the temple of our home, or the temple of an institution. Vainam kavantam aravinda dalayataksham barhavatam samasitam buddha sundarangam kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. We see the beautiful form of the murti of Krishna and Radha, and we contemplate. So as the Krishna, as we contemplate Krishna and Radha in their forms, we become attached and we become mad after them. And similarly, as one, we also have a form. Krishna has a spiritual form. Every living entity has a spiritual form. Siddha Sarup, Rupa Goswami calls it. Siddha Sarup. It's often called Siddhadeha. So we are to think of that. If we hear about the beauty and qualities and attractiveness of the Manjaris, then we become attached. And we want to be there. And we will, because this is what will become. This is what we're, Prayojana means, what is the goal of life? To love Krishna. Krishna Prema, Prema Pumartha Mahan. The goal of life, there's many things. The goal of life is we have to go to some place, and we have to be in some body, and we have to engage in some activities with Krishna in his various forms and different holy dhams, Vaikuntha, Mathura, Dwarka, Vrindavan. So we set our vision and our heart in a particular direction. So everything is part of the unified field. Everything is part of the unified spiritual field. Meditate on the holy dham that you want to attain. You live in the holy dham that you want to live in forever. And you meditate on the form of Krishna you want to serve forever. And you meditate on the form of his Shakti. In this case, Radharani and Krishna Vrindavan. And then, okay, this is the Prema Shraya Radharani and the Prem Vishaya Krishna. But what about the Prem Vishaya you? You're also a shelter of love. The object of your love is Krishna. And you're the shelter, a reservoir. You're the Ashraya, the shelter of that love as his devotee. Are you a coward boy? Are you a house servant? Are you an elderly gopi or elderly gopa and a muda? Or are you a Sakhi Manjari like Rupa and Rati? So part of the unified field of meditation and sadhana practice means to meditate on the holy dham, meditate on the Parishads and family members and associates of Radha and Krishna, even his grandmother, and even the elderly gopis of Braj, that their service, their daily service is to criticize Krishna. Their daily service is to call Krishna gully, you know, to use gully and speak bad names against Krishna just to increase his ras. This is described by Rupa Goswami in Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika. The names of those gopis, this is their eternal service. It's all in love, and it's all to increase Krishna. Krishna says, there's other verses where Krishna himself, Bhagavan, is saying, I relish, I enjoy the cutting and the chastisements and the rebukes of the Brijbasis. When the elderly gopis call me dirt and kapat and lampat, you cheater, you low-class person, you playboy. Aha. I relish that more than the stutis of the Rig Veda, with hundreds and thousands of perfectly composed Sanskrit padas and shlokas. It's nectar for my ear. In Hindi we say gali. Gali, it means dirty words, bad talk. So this is, we have to know all the, we have to meditate. And Raghunath Das Goswami, the Priyojanacharya, he wrote a whole book to guide this aspect of our meditation. It's called the Parishad Dhyanam, to meditate on the Parishads of Krishna. It's called Braj. It's actually one poem within Stavavali, but that poem is very prominent and important element of the Raghunuga Sadhana Bhajan. It's called Braj Vilas Stav. Braj Vilas Stav. And it talks about Mukura, and it talks about Rohini, and it talks about Nanda and Yashoda and Lalita and Vishaka and the Palinda women and Banguri and many, many personalities. And we have to, that's part of our meditation. And last but not least, but very prominent, is that we meditate on Manjaris and the qualities of different aspects of Manjaris with the aspiration to realize and attain, or let's say attain, our own Manjari Sarup. So as we meditate on Krishna's Nam Rup Gun Leela, we also meditate on our own Nam Rup Gun Leela in relationship and in servitude and submission to Radha and Krishna and their eternal pastimes of love and Brajadam. So therefore, the acharyas like Prabodhananda Saraswati, who describes Manjari's forms, and Naratam, and Vishwanath, and Rupa, and Raghunath, they're not wasting their time. They're instructing us, they're teaching us, they're guiding us. So we'll read, this is very nice. This, as we want to read all detailed descriptions, Radha Krishna Rupa Chintamani, Radha Krishna Rupa Chintamani, Rupa Dhyan Chintamani, to meditate on the touchstone of meditating. As you meditate, so you become. As you meditate, so you become. So you meditate on Maya, you go to Maya. You meditate on Krishna, you go to Krishna. You meditate on the Manjari Sarup for the service of Radha and Krishna. Eventually you attain one. So this is from Vrindavan Mahimamrita. This is Shataka 21 through 42 or so. The Manjari has a glistening golden-colored complexion. The Manjari is a charming picture of sweetness. We just see the Manjari, like you see a painting, so that's a very sweet painting. We often see paintings of Radha and Krishna, and we say, oh, this is a very sweet painting of Radha and Krishna. Of course, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, but some painting that's truly sweet, one painting I saw on Facebook that I thought was sweet, and everyone thought was sweet, it was Krishna. And he's Shamsundar. He's blue. And he's in the middle of cows. He's standing. This is Aparan Leela, Uttara Goshta Leela, around 4:35 in the afternoon. He's bringing the cows back from Kamban or Kokilavan or Govardhan. back to Nandagaon, to the Goshala. And he's in the middle of all these cows, and every besides Krishna, Krishna's beautiful sham blue, everything else in the painting is white. Have you seen this painting? Everything is white. All the cows are white, the trees are white, everything is white. And it's so beautiful and so sweet. And got so many shares and likes, because, and everyone said, oh, too beautiful. So this is a painting that everyone will agree on is very sweet, attractive and beautiful. So Manjaris, take any Manjari, okay, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Lavanga Manjari, Vilas Manjari, Kasturi Manjari, Manjalali, and put them there, and they are the very picture of sweetness. They're sweet to behold. Just look at it. Oh, what a sweet, beautiful girl. No more than 13 years old. There's a Manjari is a charming picture of sweetness. That her bodily luster, loveliness, and honey-like sweetness are all unlimited. The Manjari is in the prime of her maidenhood, and her breasts have budded beautifully. She wears a pearl necklace and multicolored blouses. The beauty of her shapely arms is further enhanced by the gold bracelets and her jeweled armbands. The vine of her braid hangs down her captivating thighs, and its lolling movement augments her beauty. That's a long veiny all the way to her thighs. But Radharani's veiny, her braid, is also long like that. It's very difficult to maintain long that hair is so long. But everything is being done for the pleasure of Krishna. Like Radharani, she has long hair like that, but she has so many host of friends and sakis to Manjaris to take care of her hair, and sometimes Krishna does. One of Krishna's most popular names is where he's named because he's expert in dressing and combing and brushing and braiding Radharani's hair. The Sanskrit word for hair is kesh. Have you heard of the keshi demon? The word keshi doesn't mean horse. Although we generally say Keshi, the horse demon, it's true. He was killed, the Keshi god. But horses, by nature, they have really long, they have lots of long hair on their tail and lots of long hair on their necks or wherever it is, backs or somewhere, wherever it is. So and so Keshi actually means hair. So Krishna, who is expert as he clearly showed in Sringharbhat during the Ras Leela, Krishna's expert at dressing and combing and brushing Radharani's hair. So he's Keshava, Krishna Keshava. So the Manjaris, like Radharani, they have very long, beautiful black hair braids. She has an enchantingly thin waist and wears divine silken garments. Her garments are folded in a very alluring way and they hang down over her ankles. A fine cloth decorated with flowers and leaves covers her hair. She has sweet smiles and playful glances, and she moves in various attractive ways. She's always thrilled by the loving affairs of Radha Govinda Yugo. The Manjari is expert in many arts, having been taught by Radharani herself. Everyone knows, or at least you must be in your life, have the experience of being personally taught something by someone. It's actually quite a dynamic exchange. When someone has knowledge of some physical thing and they show you how to do it, you're making something, you're doing something. Maybe you're an artist and you're painting and your art teacher said, no, you go like this. And then when someone personally teaches you something, it's very impressive. And it's an exchange of love in one sense. So can you imagine, this is the, can you imagine what it's like, what it would be like to be personally trained by Srimati Radharani? Inconceivable. She has a big school. She has a very big school up there. School is not over. We'll go to school there. And just in the seat in front of you, you know who's sitting in the seat in front of you in that school? In Radharani's university? Krishna. Krishna is sitting in the seat right in front of you because Radharani is also his guru, and he admits that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna says, Radhikara, Radhikara, I said, Ami Guru. Radhikara Prema, he says, Radhika Prema Guru, Ami Shishya Nat. He says, Radharani is my Prema Guru. Radharani is my Prema Guru, and I am Shishya, Ami. I am the disciple of Radharani, learning how to dance. Not means dance. I am learning how to dance. So in the spiritual world, we will actually be taught, at least we've seen one place specifically in the Shastras. One of our acharyas says that Radharani will take me into a cave and teach me how to sing her favorite song. And generally we hear that the mandris are trained by other mandris and other sakis like Lalita and Vishakha, or their Yuteshri. But here, Prabhupada Saraswati is telling us that Radharani. So just imagine that. The mantri is especially attractive because she's wearing the divine couple's prasadi garlands, ornaments and clothes. She's endowed with unlimited good qualities, of which humility and good conduct are foremost. Here in this world, we often receive the prasad, Radha and Krishna's prasad, their garlands. This is Radharani's garland. Or we receive some prasad or garlands or scent, or you know, this fragrance, sugandhi. And sometimes we receive, that we get the clothing, the Lord's clothing. Many times you see the devotees, they take the old poshak or the vastra, the outfits of the Lord, and they make a hat, they make a Swami hat out of it. I've seen many devotees in Vrindavan wearing very colorful cloth with gold inlay and everything, and that devotee may be 80 years old, 85, no teeth, and bent over, and just wearing white cloth. And on his head he has a beautiful purple Swami hat, like we call Prabhupada hat. Beautiful bright purple with gold jari and threads and every little paisley design or flowers. And he's with his bead bag in one hand and he's got his walking stick and he's walking along the sandy path at those days, and back in 87. Behind the ISKCON Goshala, he's walking along there chanting. So happy to be wearing Radharani's prasadi vesh on his head, absorbed in his nitya, his eternal identity. And rather ironic to see, but very beautiful and attractive. So even here as sadhakas, we get the prasadi it's called, the remnants, the clothing. So you think it doesn't happen there? It also happens there. Radharani, all different circumstances. You may get Radharani's kanchuli or Krishna's chatur due to different sevas you've rendered. So this is the mandris. They have all this great wealth they get. There's no payment there. You don't get a paycheck for serving Radharani. It's just the abode of love. The payment there is loving exchanges and the bliss you feel by serving. So the mantri carries, for the service of Radharani, she carries the water pots and other paraphernalia for the nightly meetings of the divine couple. The mantri constantly tastes the sacred rapture arising from seeing Radharani's beautiful form, qualities and pastimes. Whenever the manjari remembers Radharani's pastimes with Krishna, she feels a thrilling sensation. Manjari is always immersed in an ocean of happiness. Why? Due to her intense loving affection for Srimati Radharani. So if we try to put these parts in different order, we can draw a conclusion. It says the mandri is always immersed in an ocean of happiness. So then we can ask ourselves, would we like to be, let's say, sitting next to an ocean of happiness? What to speak of immersed in an ocean of happiness? Then, well, is there a cause to that result? Is there a cause to the result that they're always immersed in an ocean of happiness? Well, Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying there's some causal effect here, a cause and effect. Yes, they're always immersed in an ocean of happiness. Well, how do they get that way? Well, because they have intense loving affection for Radharani. So therefore, if someone has, which is not, it's a very elevated, high stage to attain or to be at, but just say, if someone has intense loving affection for Srimati Radharani, then what will happen? What will be the effect? What will be the result of that? Then he will always be immersed in an ocean of happiness. This is manjaris. Sounds attractive, doesn't it? So let's hear more. Whether they're awake or whether they're dreaming or whether in deep sleep, this susupti, there's jagrata. Jagrata means waking, and swapna means sleeping. Swapna means dreaming, and deep sleep is called susupti. And then the fourth state, there's four states of consciousness. The fourth state is called turiya. And they say that's where they call that sleepless sleep. Sleepless sleep, where the Atma merges with the Paramatma or something. It's something that yogis achieve that by meditation, the fourth state of consciousness, turiya. The soul, you actually perceive the soul. You can actually perceive the soul on that stage. So, not that I'm advocating go to sleep and realize God. Because mostly, we're awake, jagrata, and then we dream, swapna. Most human beings, 99 out of 100 human beings, they only experience two states of consciousness. We're a four-cylinder car running on two cylinders. We have the opportunity in a human form of life to experience four states of consciousness. And we only experience two. Susupti means very deep, dreamless sleep. And you wake, in this modern disturbed age, very rarely anyone experiences susupti. When you wake up from susupti, you feel like you're like practically rejuvenated, completely alive, alert, like you completely dreamless sleep. Everyone dreams, but we forget. We don't remember. There's so many dreams in one night that upon waking, you say, "Oh, I didn't dream anything." But people that are doing sleep studies and psychologists that are measuring your brain patterns, there's particular patterns that are indicative of the state of swapna, or dreaming, when a person's dreaming, different brain waves. So you're clearly, it's going like this when you're dreaming, and in deep sleep, it's like, it's like this. So you're all night long, it's going like this, and you wake up, and the person, and even they'll wake up and say, "Were you dreaming?" "No, I wasn't dreaming." But it was going do, 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 do. And then with yogis and other people they've tested, or some, and it's going like this. You know, there's a stage when it's called deep sleep, susupti. Turiyas, only yogis have experienced it. But so I'm talking about mandris. Don't get lost into yoga and meditation, all these four states of consciousness. I mean, just worry about one state of consciousness. When we're conscious, let's be Krishna conscious. When we're sleeping, we don't know where we are. We try to be Krishna conscious then also. But forget about Susupti and Turiya. If you're awake for 18 hours and you're fully Krishna conscious, then when you close your eyes and die, you'll wake up in the spiritual world. So that's the best place to be. That's the best state of consciousness, eternal Krishna consciousness. So don't get sidetracked into Susupti and Turiya. You're awake, you're 18 hours a day Krishna conscious, and you're 6 hours resting for Krishna consciousness, and one day you'll close your eyes and you won't wake up. Maybe tonight. We don't know. Every night, every day may be our last. May it be our best day, the most productive and Krishna conscious day. It says an intelligent man always remembers four things. He forgets two things and remembers two things. He forgets all the bad things that people have done to him. He forgets all the bad things that people have done to him, including himself. He forgets the bad things he's done to himself. That's not part of it. And he forgets the good things that he's done for others. Oh, I was so good to him, but what happened? He was so bad to me. Forget the good things you did for someone else. Then that's two things to forget and two things to remember. Always remember, I am going to die right now, or in a minute, or in 10 years. No one knows. And always remember Krishna. Usually they say, always remember to chant Hare Krishna. That's the best way to remember. So this is the mantras, whether they're waking, dreaming, or in deep sleep, they don't desire anything and they don't do anything but the service of Radharani's feet. A mantri will run as fast as she can towards anything that even has the most insignificant relationship to Radha. Just like in the same way that rivers rush to the ocean. Whenever a mantri is separated from Radharani, even for a moment, she practically dies. That's what is told in the end of Vilap Kusumanjali by Raghunath Das. In the very end of his Vilap, his lamentation and his anguish of separation from his Swamini Ishwari Radha. Maybe verse 102, there's 104 verses in Vilap Kusumanjali. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, najivami, najivami. Like this. He says that, I am yours, Radharani, I am yours, najivami. I cannot live, bina tvam. I cannot live without you. So that's why it's saying here that they can't live for a moment without Radharani. So this is the mantras, how they feel in the spiritual world. But even the exemplar, the sadhaka teaching us, Das Goswami is the exemplar of the Raghunuga Bhajan Marg. And the goal of Gopi Bhav and Radharani's Seva, Radhadasyam, and he's crying like that, I can't live without you. Day and night, the mantri remains inseparable as a shadow from the lotus feet of Radha. At every moment, the mantri has thrill bumps or bumps of joy on her body from tasting the sacred rapture, which means the sevaras. This is a translation of sevaras. Tasting, experiencing the sacred rapture of Radharani's service. The mantri enchants everyone with her bodily luster and loveliness as she moves from place to place in her anxiety to better serve Radha. A mantri is satisfied and happy and relishes when she hears the sweet conversations that Radha and Krishna engage in when they're together privately in the kunjas, this particular Harikatha, this, well, I guess it's Yugal Katha of Radha and Krishna, this Samlap, this Samput, Prem Samput, or this Surata, Surata Katamritam, the nectarian talks, nectarian love talks that Radha and Krishna share in the confidential settings of the groves of Vrindavan, are described by many Padakartas. Our own Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur wrote Surata Katamritam and also Swapna Vilas Amritam. And Swapna Vilas, we talked about dreaming, Swapna. So Swapna Vilas Amritam is a dream Radharani had one night in the Kunja when she was sleeping in the flower bed with Shamsundar. And she dreamed of a golden, beautiful golden young teenager. And there was a beautiful river there. It was lined with many trees, and there are many wonderful, fragrant flowers and gentle breezes blowing everywhere in her dream. And she saw in that dream there were many divine and radiant beings, beautiful flower garlands around their necks and sandalwood paste on their foreheads. But they were all Brahmins and men. And those trees that she saw in her dream along that river, they were all palm trees and coconut trees and betel nut trees. They weren't kadamba trees and palasha and ashok and arjun, the other trees of Vrindavan. And these effulgent divine beings wearing garlands and sandalwood paste were not the mandris and gopis. And amongst all those divine, wonderful personalities she saw in her dream, there was one very tall and golden, extremely golden person. When Radharani, in her dream, she saw that golden person, she became very attracted in her dream. And she was thinking, who is this golden person? His complexion is just like mine. And I feel as attracted to this golden divine being as I do to Shyam. But that's a Brahman, beautiful Brahman youth. And they're not engaging in rasa dance, but they're dancing with their arms raised. We put our arms around each other's waist and across each other's shoulders when we dance in the rasa mandala. Shyam and all the gopis. But all these devotees have their arms up in the air. Ajano lambita. They're stretching their long arms up into the air. And they're not singing the beautiful ragas of midnight, but they're singing Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and the Maha Mantra. And I'm thinking, I was looking, where? I'm so attracted to this golden form, but it's not Shyam. And where am I? Where was I at? And I saw this, this was Radharani, this was the talks that Radharani was having with Krishna when she woke up in the morning. And the flower bed. And the mandris are hearing it all. One particular mandri was hearing it with rapt attention and relishing in it, because that's what we read here, that the mandris relish hearing those intimate conversations. What was the name of that mandri that was hearing this beautiful conversation in the kunja where Radharani was revealing a dream to Shyam that she had the night before? That mandri's name was Vinod Valare Mandri. And then she went home after that morning to her diary, and she wrote in her diary, and she said, oh, I heard a very beautiful conversation. I want to write it down in my diary, so I will read it to the other sakis and mandris later. So it was she wrote the whole dialogue, and then she called it Swapna Amrita Vilas, was it? Something like that. Swapna Amrita Vilas. So then she signed it, Vinod Valare Mandri. But somehow, that page of her diary came into Kali Yuga. It came into Kali Yuga, and when we picked it up, it had a name on it, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because Vishnu Chakravarti wrote this, Swapna Amrita, Vilas, Vilas Amritam. So there Radharani was asking Shyam, so who was that I saw? He said, oh. And then in his Kaustubha money around his neck, his necklace, he showed that entire dream, and Radharani was looking at Shyam's necklace on his chest, like a movie screen or like your iPhone or something. And she saw, wait a minute, that's what I saw. There's that golden youth of my dreams. But where am I? And if that golden youth is me, then where? If that golden youth is you, then why are you golden? Or where am I? Or if that golden youth is you, then where am I? Or if it's me, where are you? I'm confused. This is the dialogue Radharani's having. And then Krishna's smiling while Radharani's looking at his iPhone. I mean, it's Kaustubha money. And seeing this beautiful Leela, Swapna Amrita, Vilas, Vilas Amritam. Then Krishna says, actually, O Priyaji, in the coming ages, in Kali Yuga, I will appear. That golden youth was me. I will be Vishvambar, Gaurahari, and you will become Gadadhar Pandit. You were that one dancing right next to me, that other golden divine being. You were dancing right next to me and offering me tambul. That was you. Just like in the Rasa dance, we danced together and you offered me tambul. In the dream you saw that golden boy was dancing along the Ganga and some other golden youth was offering him tambul. And someone else was fanning with a chamara. That was Narahari Sarkar, his Madhumati Sakhi. So this, and like this, Krishna explained. So these types of conversations, well, the Manjris are especially privy. They can hear these and they relish these. So that's being mentioned by Vrindavan Mahimamrita by Prabhadananda Saraswati. So they have a very fortunate position. There's one further, I've kind of a summary description here by Siddha Krishnadas, who lived in 1870 in Manasi Ganga. His samadhi is there also, near Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva. And this is a book, Sadhana Amrita Chandrika. It's a moonbeam of the nectar instructions about sadhana. So here he's telling, one should constantly meditate. He says first, with one's mind full of devotion and surrender, one should constantly meditate on one's own desired form as a manjari of Radharani. And that form is drenched and saturated with the mercy of your spiritual master. Because we don't even have any form of devotion, we would not even exhibit or display one gesture of bhakti without the mercy of our spiritual master. We would not be able to engage in one limb of seva without the mercy of the spiritual master. So what to speak of attaining the final perfect spiritual body, the transcendental form, the Siddha Sarup, that will be, again, fully and utterly dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master. So he's reminding one of that when one is meditating. He said this beautiful girlfriend of Radharani, Manjari Palyadasi Kinkari, maidservant, handmaiden, as Prabhupada mentions, he calls the Manjaris near assistants, or confidential, there's two terms, he says, confidential serving maids of Srimati Radharani, or near assistants, because they're very near to Radharani. So she's decorated with many various ornaments. She's expert in the 64 arts and crafts. She wears a beautiful dress and chador. And her blouse is covered in pearls. and has some golden border. She's anointed with sandalwood and kasturi. She's always sweetly smiling and always very eager for service. And this is a very nice point. She's always expert in finding out new ways of serving Radha and Krishna. Expert in finding newer and newer ways to serve them. So this reminds me of a quotation that Prabhupada, a statement Prabhupada made in the 70s when he was in L.A. He said, you should rack your brains. He was talking to the Sankirtan book distributors. He said, you should rack your brains and find the ways and the means to distribute Krishna consciousness to each and every human being on the planet. Rack your brains, find the ways, mail order, spiritual fairs and festivals and yoga festivals and carnivals and football games and airports and email and any kind of way to distribute books, you know, wear Western clothes or wear devotional clothes or whatever it takes, but distribute the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. So this is finding newer and newer ways to spread the glories and mahima and kirti of Radha and Krishna. So mandris are the same way. You're a very clever and intelligent book distributor here, then you'll become a very expert serving maid of Radharani. Because you're very clever in finding newer and newer ways. I discovered something. We can go to airports, or we can go to house, or door to door, everything. We can go up in outer space or whatever. Newer and newer avenues and ways. Everything is unlimited. So the mantras are like that. How to serve, how to please. It's a very nice characteristic of any sevite or any servant. The mantra is always endowed with good qualities like humility. And she's always praying for Radha's mercy. It's very nice. We should meditate like this. Every action of a mantri is only for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. The mantri is like a beautiful lotus flower herself. She has a very deep and secret feeling of love for Krishna. Because we say Radha Sneha Adhika, the mantris, Nityasakis, Pransakis, their affection, their degree of affection, loving sentiments and intimacy, they have adik, or more, extra additional towards Radharani. But that doesn't mean they have none or no affection. Some sakis are sama sneha. They have equal affection for Radha and Krishna. And sometimes, like a pendulum, they show more affection to Radha than Krishna, and sometimes more affection towards Krishna than Radha. And some are Krishna sneha adik. They're always showing more affection to Krishna, like Dhanishta Sakhi. She shows more affection to Krishna than she does Radha and Chandravali and others. So they love Krishna very much, obviously. The beauty of the mantris bewilders even Cupid with joy. And the mantris are expert at making conversation, and which increases the pleasure of the conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna. A mantri is transcendentally and beautifully formed. She's always jubilant and happy because she's always singing songs to please the divine couple. She is golden, molten gold body, and she's free from even the slightest hint of self-centered desire. And day and night she is overwhelmed by feelings of divine love for Radha and Krishna. So this is the kind of the hearing about the mantri's form and beauty. And tomorrow we're going to hear about the loyalty. This is the transcendental forms and divine attributes of the Sakhi Mandris of Radharani. Tomorrow we'll hear something about their psyche or their mentality, the position of their minds and hearts, their loyalty. how their loyalty towards Radharani and different circumstances. And that loyalty, because all this is leading to the discussion of the... Because the title of this course for 1 month is called The Glorious Seva of Srimati Radharani. So we'll discuss individual sevas, but let's hear something. We're first hearing about her sevites, the sakis and the mandris, with extra focus on the mandris, because that's the basic teaching of Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, is to become a servant of Radharani, like Rupa Mandri and all of our... Once Prabhupada was asked, this is in the folio in his letters, he was asked by one disciple, Prabhupada, are all the acharyas in our line, are they all mandris of Radharani? Are all the acharyas in our line, are they all mandris of Radharani? And Prabhupada writes in that letter, which is on the folio, he said, practically all of them, yes. Yes, practically all of them are. My Guru Maharaj, he's Nayanamani Mandri. My Param Guru, he is Guna Mandri. My Paratara Guru is Kamala Mandri. And his Guru is Vilas Mandri. And then it goes on. And Jagannath, the Guru of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, is Vilas Mandri. And then Jagannath Das Babaji, he's also Mandri. And the six Goswamis are Mandris. And Narottam Das Thakur is a Mandri. Champak, Mandri. Vishnu Chakrabarti is a Mandri. Baladev Vidyabhushan is a Mandri. So most all of them, of our acharyas, are Mandris. And that was Prabhupada's answer. Most all of our acharyas are Mandris. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach this Gopi Bhav and to follow Radha Krishna in the mood of the Braja Gopis. Like the Shruti Charis and the Rishi Charis, etc.